This is Craig from The Res, and you're listening to Radio Brendo Man with Captain Phil Vecchio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
And it's Friday now, if you're listening to this immediately.
Not immediately.
Well, you're listening to it when it comes out
on
Friday.
That's true, yeah.
Not listening right now.
Well, we're actually time still travelers. Tuesday.
Still Tuesday. The Tuesday that time will not forever forget.
The Tuesday that time will not forever forget.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
The Tuesday that time will forever not forget.
So we just left off on a cliffhanger because we were talking about Extra Life that we went
to. Oh, yeah. We went to a show.
We went to a show. Haven't been to, like, just straight up.
I already forgot the band names.
Oh, I don't. So,
You don't forget?
I don't forget. Ever. I'm just saying never. It's a universal fact. We went to a show in Redlands.
In an alley.
In an alley. It was great. Like, it's the first show that I've gone to in several months that wasn't, like, you know, like a big concert kind of thing. Like, just a show, which it was great.
Because it's harder and harder to even find non-corporate Live Nation Ticketmaster garbage.
And this venue
fees.
Was super cool.
Yeah, it was, like, no cover. At the bar, like, it was at a bar, but it was, like, at this alley behind the bar.
Yeah, like, in between all the buildings.
And it was, like, super really cool, because it was, like, these old-timey buildings, and, like, in Redlands, and...
Yeah.
And it was, like, a ton of... It seemed like, since this band was from the early 2000s...
Yeah, I think they formed in, like, right in 2000.
The crowd definitely steered towards our age, which was kind of refreshing. There was definitely younger, but I also liked being, like, out and about, and it wasn't just people that made me feel, like, super old.
Right.
Like, I didn't get that Murtaugh vibe while I was there, which I definitely get going out to shows a lot these days. Like, the infamous when we got in the pit. That was a definite Murtaugh moment.
That was 8 years ago, man.
I know. And even then, it was like, man.
Well, the band that we went and saw, they're called Metaphor is Audio, and they're super cool. And it's funny, because we were talking about this. You know, they formed in, like, early 2000s and were active for probably 5 or 6 years throughout that time.
Booked some shows?
I don't think I ever actually booked shows, but I saw them once or twice.
Okay.
They were on a compilation
people
CD
were
that
in
Upside
a,
Down
but
was
people
on.
People from it were in a band that you
Yeah, some with? People. The drummer was in a band that we did a lot of stuff with and actually recorded a demo for with Popbox Music. So, you know, I had some connections there and stuff. And it was great. And the crazy part we're talking about is that music from that era, from the early 2000s, has a sound.
Looking back on it, it's very distinct.
And it's crazy because you just, I mean... Because
when you're in it, you don't feel
that
way.
You don't know what that sound is.
And now, like, listening to this music, I'm like...
Oh, it's like early 2000s?
Yeah, and they're like, they don't... Like, this music doesn't really exist anymore.
No, I mean, not except for bands that are still playing what they played.
From that era.
It just, it was great. I loved it. They were super tight. Like, this is their first show they played in... I can't remember how many years they said it's been.
Yeah.
But, like, it's been several years, and it was their, like, 15th anniversary of forming, I think, something like that. Or maybe of their first
album. I like that they called themselves emo geezers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like that term.
Yeah, it's great.
So I'm like, is that what we are now, emo geezers?
Well, because they've all got kids, and they're old, and beards, and...
And then looking around, I'm like, man, we're all, like, at that stage. Yeah. And, like, this is probably a big deal for everybody here, going out, going to a show.
Yeah, well, like, it was fun. Like, one of the
like
people
it definitely
we
had
that,
that vibe.
One of the people we bumped into that I knew is like a school board member at the kid's school. That was like there in a t-shirt and shorts and hanging out. Like, just normal dude.
Again, like, I think like everybody, it was like, oh, we're all out here. Yeah. Is this? And then it's like,
show.
And then there's something like. I think it's, again, like one of those pure forms of nostalgia that's not tainted in any way. Going to a show, if that was a big part of your life, it's always the moment you go, you're out, you're in it, you're like, it takes you right back. You're like,
instantly.
You instantly feel like 15 years younger.
Yeah. Well, because just outside, and there's, like, the drummer who that I know, like, loading his stuff out. There's a guy from another band we know, which is just what it's always like.
Yeah.
You just always know everybody, and you're hanging out, and then we, like, walked down to the drugstore to buy, like, sodas, and came back, and hanging out in the alley, and I don't know, just great.
Just reminded great. You, I mean, for me, it reminded me of being, like, 19, at the Hub.
Yeah.
And, like, hanging out with the goth kids.
It had kind of a Hub vibe.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, there was, again, like, these people, like, I guess, I think, like, you know, rewind, like, 20 years, 18, 16, 17 years, and, like, probably a lot of goth kids.
Yeah. And seriously. And it's just, I don't know. It was super cool. Then there was a second band that played that apparently, like, they're super popular. There was a line out the street to come in.
Yeah.
Like, down the street. Like, a lot of people. Afterwards. And they're called Troubadour Parade, and they were really good.
The dude was, like, the main dude, like, that did, like, all the, like, tracks, and
yeah.
He had, like a pretty crazy setup going on.
Oh, yeah, he got, like, multiple
keyboard sequencers, chaos pad, vocal mic effects, and then, like, and then they had, like, a bass player and a drummer. And like,
and a guitar player,
and like, it was really cool. They were really great.
Really good.
It just, it's well, we typical only, shows didn't start, and it took forever to get everything set up.
Well, because the first band, the times were kind of like all over the place, which is typical. Which is
very typical.
It said online they might start as early as like 9 o'clock, and they didn't go on until like 10:15. Then the second band didn't even start
like 11:30.
Like, yeah, so we stayed and watched like a song.
We had to get all the way down to Irvine.
Yeah.
To get to Extra Life. So,
I want to see them again, though, because those guys are super cool.
I feel like that's going to be one of those bands where you better go see them now because they're on the cusp.
And I think they're touring around a lot. So Troubadour Parade, if you guys see a show from them, check them out. And then I don't know how many shows that Metaphors Audio is going to play, but they're recording a new EP, I think. So so that's cool. You know, they had a new song they played they've been working on. So.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was great. They were like... For not having played for so long, it was super tight. They just sounded great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I was really into the vocals.
Yeah. So, it was fun. It was going from that and then going to play video games all night. Like, that was a fun night. It was worth staying up all night.
It's worth my... I've been pretty zonked since then.
Yeah.
And, like, my sleep schedule was all messed up because I slept during the day on Sunday. Well, because I slept during the day on Saturday to prep... For, you know, I took some extra nap time. Then I slept until, like I went to bed at, like, 9:30 and woke up at, like, 3:30.
Plus, now we've gained an hour, so that, like, changed everything even more.
But, and then, like, I don't know, yesterday was a bummer of a day for me because in the morning, well, so Sunday night I drove out to Buena Park.
Sunday night you did?
Yeah, because I had to go get my SIM card. Cause, so my friend Mike, basically like Cricket has this family plan thing and already like Cricket's like way cheaper and except it uses the same, it's owned by AT&T and uses their network.
Okay.
And then my friend Mike got like four people and we got on a family plan. So it's even cheaper. I'm paying like half of what I was paying before for the same like, data and service plan that I had, and it's like half the price. So I'm like, and Mike was down, he's down at Biola for school, so he's staying in Buena Park. So he's like, if you can come out here, I'll get you your SIM card. And so I'm like, that's worth it, because again, all the money I'm saving.
Right.
And I'm not, and like, it was late, so there wasn't, although I did hit a ton of traffic on the 91.
Well, always, of course.
Like, going there, but on the way back, it was fine.
Okay.
It was just the, westbound, they had it down to two lanes. I should have known better, but I didn't have my GPS because I didn't have my phone. And
which was super weird, by the way. was it Friday you texted? Or you Facebook messaged me.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't have a phone.
Yeah, I'm like, that was weird. Like, I can't text Brenda. Like,
It felt good, like, not having a phone and not having to worry about anything related to that.
Yeah.
I had my Wi-Fi so I could get on Facebook and stuff, but not having to deal with, like, voicemails or texts or any of it. It was kind of liberating, and then I came and we got the SIM card, but it wasn't working. So then on Monday morning, I get my SIM card working. I had to call Cricket, and they activated it over the phone, and then I get a voicemail, and it's from the insurance company. So earlier in the week, I had gotten a voicemail from the insurance company saying I was going to get $15,000.
Like almost $1,600, right? It was like $15,500 or something.
For my car, which that's more than I even paid for. But I just thought like, oh, this is like a settlement because like I'm going to have to buy a new car. And
since you got hit by a drunk driver.
It was completely their fault. And so I'm like, well, that's awesome. Like this is great. This is a good thing. And I was stoked because not only am I going to get a good car, I'm going to have some money left over that I can pay some bills. I'm going to be traveling for like coming up soon. Right. And like, and that's going to be covered because otherwise I don't think I'm going to be able to like pay for plane tickets for Thanksgiving. Just my, you know, I'm on a very fixed income.
Right.
Because while I do, like, this is what I try to explain to people and they're like, oh wow, you're making, like, yes, I make a good hourly wage, but because, like, I only get paid when I work at school.
Right.
And I'm not working like a little chunk of the year. And a lot of people get two jobs, but I make enough where I'm like, I make enough to pay my bills. I have a little bit of money left over, and that's good enough for me.
Right.
Because I want to have that time off. And so I'm not making, like, the big bucks. And so, again, I'm on a very fixed income.
Right.
So this was, like, going to be a pretty big deal. That's, like, almost, like a good chunk of, like, a salary, man. Like, just all in once. And I was excited and thinking, like, man, this is an answer to some, you know, problems. And then I get another voicemail on Monday when I get my voicemail working, and they're like, oh, we made a mistake. That wasn't your quote. I think they gave me somebody else's quote.
See, I think they're playing shenanigans here. This is what Janelle and I think.
But they're legally, like, there's no reason for them to give that much money.
Yeah, because they know you can sue because you got hit
but
by a drunk driver that left the scene.
Here's what I discovered. So here's the thing, and I don't know, maybe they redid, because basically they're like, you get $4,100 because that's what your car's worth.
Okay.
Which is, that's what it is. That's the true car value. Because that's what I thought I was going to get. That's what I was expecting. Right. And then I got that $15,000 offer and I was like, holy crap. But then they're like, well, that was not your quote. That was a mistake. And they never gave it in writing or anything.
But
so,
you have a word.
Yeah, but that
word.
Doesn't, but that that's still not a contract. It's not
it's a verbal
anything.
Contract.
It's not a verbal contract. That's it not is. Even how verbal contracts work.
So you have it recorded. They said this but is what you're going to get.
That's not a verbal contract. That doesn't constitute what would be considered a verbal contract.
I don't know. And if everything I've learned on Judge Judy is just falling apart here.
Yes, because I found out, like, because I'm not injured, the only thing that they're legally obligated, and if it did go to court, they would legally be obligated to pay, is the value of the car, and that's what they're offering.
Yeah, but so, she should at least go to jail, and they know that.
Well, that doesn't come into play, and when it comes to, like, a civil suit, like, the only thing they're legally obligated for is the value of the car, and since that's what they're offering, this case wouldn't even make it to court.
Yeah.
And I would get what they're already offering me, so it's basically a waste of time. I mean, Janelle's, your guys' lawyer friend basically was like, I could make some calls and maybe get him to up the offer a little bit, but, like, I mean, they're offering you the value of the car, and that's what your car, and, like, I don't know. So, it was just really kind of a major bummer.
Well, he's the man, like, I would go with whatever he says, because if that's like his specialty.
Well, I called a place and they said that too, so I mean, at least that place that I called wasn't super far off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm also just weary of all that, and like, because again, even if I won a small claims court, I can only sue for the value of the car, which again, they're already offering, And then you have to go through, like, I looked at the whole, like, getting a judgment, collecting on a judgment. You have to, like, pay all these fees and go to court and serve papers and all this stuff. And so it's just, like, I don't know. And I was just...
Maybe you should just go on Judge Judy.
No.
That's a good one. Just let her yell at her. That's worth it.
It's not worth it for me to not have a car for until the time that... Because as soon as anything happened, they would be like, all right, we're not paying for the rental car anymore.
But then I could be your witness, and I could talk to Judge
Judy. But then I wouldn't – how would I get to work? How would I live? Oh,
Judge Judy would take care of it all.
I know you want to be on Judge Judy.
Is there any way we can get this into – parlay this into an appearance on Judge Judy?
No, unfortunately.
Dang it. Thought this was our end.
So, I mean, that's what's going on with me, and it was just kind of like – blah, car. And so I'm still in the rental car. They extended it till Friday. Oh, and then they're like, well, we need – somebody's going to call you to go over this paperwork. And they still – they sent me the wrong paperwork. And I told them that. They're like, well, you have to tell that to the person that calls you because they're the paperwork person. But guess who hasn't called me yet? And they're like, well, they're backed up. And I'm like, so you're just going to keep extending the rental car forever? But
you're
I have,
gonna
to keep,
have to.
And I don't know. It's just annoying. And I feel like this is just one stringing along as long as they can. And then I'm going to get this money that I'm either going to have to get another crappy car or – gonna have to do car payments, and I'm not looking forward to either one of those options, because again with the 15 I could have bought a really good used car, like a really good,
yeah,
like a car built within the last few years.
Right.
But I'm still I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Well, I mean, the longer they extend the rental car, the less, I mean, that's good, the better that, you know, it's better for you,
I guess, but it's still looming over me.
It is, but it's,
I'm gonna have to deal with like buying a car, which not looking forward to.
It's not fantastic.
Because I'm at a disadvantage because I need a car immediately, and they know that, and they know they're gonna, I'm gonna get saddled with some thing that I don't know.
We need a listener that is like really good at buying used cars and can help you like negotiate.
But I also don't know. Everybody's got their own ideas and advice, and I don't want that either.
No, I just mean someone to go with you. Like, that's terrifying, because I can't do it.
Well, I'm going to the bank. I'm not actually going to a car dealership.
That's good.
And that's a lot better.
That's good.
And, like, because of credit union, they can, but yeah, it's still, like,
because I mean, like, that's just terrifying, and I have no knowledge of cars whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
It's all the worst, and I'm just very, like, I don't want to do anything. Didn't watch wrestling yesterday, and I watched it today, but I just wasn't into it.
Your heart wasn't in it?
Wasn't.
I'll do it, but my heart won't be in it.
My heart's not in anything. I went to work today and just felt blah all day.
Well, tell us about the books you read that were not blah.
Well, I finished two Scott Pilgrim books. Scott Pilgrim Gets It Together, which is the fourth book, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the Universe, which is the fifth book, and right now I'm almost done with Scott Pilgrim's Finest Hour, which is the sixth book.
The last one?
The last book, which actually was finished around the same time the movie came out,
okay,
and so they had to release it. I think they released it like right before, because otherwise, the diehard Scott Pilgrim fans weren't even going
to
watch the movie because it would have spoiled
to read
the book.
It first, right.
Except I think there's some differences between the movie and the book a little bit.
Well, as there usually is.
But it's really good, and the Scott Pilgrim books are great, and I love that they're really funny, and the artwork is amazing, and just the whole vibe of it, and the music. And it made me go back and like listen to the soundtracks and watch the, like, dude, Brie Olsen is Envy Adams, and when she sings that song, and that's like, that song, oh, love that song, and the metric version is great, but the Brie Olsen, and then that made me listen to Brie Olsen's albums, because everybody forgets that Brie Olsen was a pop star for a little bit, and she's a great singer, and she's the best, and then it made me realize, I'm like, can't wait for Captain Marvel, but that's a little bit down the line.
It is.
But she's, I mean, Marvel's great. And then I thought about how great Marvel is.
So speaking of pop singers, I have a funny little tangent real quick.
Okay.
So Audrey did this like school play thing last week. Remember I told you about that? And part of it was like their school spirit thing. So they did these little sketches, but then their whole group like did a chorus sing-along, you know? And they took the Katy Perry song, the Roar.
Yeah.
Because their mascot is lions. So they said, we got the eye of the lion. You're going to hear me roar. And so they did this whole thing. It was super cute.
Adorable.
And so afterward, this thing, I was like, hey, do you know like that song's based on another song? And she's like, what? And so I previewed the video to make sure it was appropriate just in case. But, you know, the music video is fine. It's like her in a jungle and stuff.
Yeah.
So I let her and Luke watch it. And, like, first of all, they loved it because it's like a funny little video. And it was, they liked hearing the original song. And then they went to bed. And afterwards, for whatever reason, Janelle and I, like, sat for, like, an hour. No, probably more like a 20 minutes. But still watched Katy Perry music videos for, like.
Her videos are great.
Yeah, like. And we're like, she likes, writes really catchy songs.
Yeah.
So we just sat and watched
Katy Perry's great.
And
I've been saying
fantastic.
This forever.
And then we like got on other, like, we watched a Selena Gomez one, and I don't know, just whatever was, like, in the suggestion bar, we're like, pop music is kind of catchy.
It is, I'm telling you, it's really fun.
So, yeah, I've been walking around, like, humming Katy Perry songs and stuff. So there you go, there's my little tangent.
It's also fun to watch the Super Bowl, did you watch the Super Bowl video with the Left Shark? Famous Left Shark?
No.
You know what that is, right?
No.
You don't remember when all the Left Shark memes... Last year's Super Bowl, Katy Perry had like these two dancing sharks, and the left shark was pretty much doing his own thing. It was very clear that he like maybe was a replacement at the last minute and didn't know any of the choreography. So there were these whole things like, in a world of right sharks, be left shark. Just all these crazy left shark memes.
Okay.
Cause he was clearly just doing whatever. He felt like doing, and it's really funny to watch. Look up Katy Perry. It's really, really funny. There was SNL sketches about it.
I probably didn't get the joke.
Yeah, Left Shark.
Sports, man.
Left Shark.
Black hole.
Just look up Katy Perry, Left Shark, and it's very entertaining.
Well,
you guys, Phil doesn't know about Left Shark.
That one, I don't watched the Super Bowl, so how would I have known that?
It was everywhere on the internet. I don't watch the Super Bowl, and I knew about Left Shark.
I didn't know about Left Shark. But I did know that one Selena Gomez song, because she was on SNL that one time.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, but it's super catchy.
But it's really so catchy. Stupid, but it is really catchy.
That, I'm not going to sing it, but you know the one I'm talking about. It's so dumb, but then I'm like, oh. And we're like, just put it on like repeat a couple times. I don't know. We had a pop music moment for a bit there.
That's how it gets in your head.
Yeah.
That's what it's designed to do.
I know, and it works. My goodness.
I'm also reading Jim Henson's biography, and it's gotten into like, his life is just so inspirational because the dude was like working in television his freshman year of college. He just got a job at a studio. He was already making kids TV shows and doing his puppet stuff a freshman in college. And he was going to school at the same time. And then he was like started doing like commercials and he got really big with his coffee commercials. And then how a lot of the original Muppets came out of that, like Ralph.
Right.
And like Cookie Monster was originally for Muncho's Chips, and he was a chip monster. And Kermit was like, before he was even a frog, he was on a show called, he had a show called Sam and Friends, and that's where some of them came from. And like, so like Kermit and Yorick were like one of the first guys.
Have you gotten to like the SNL stuff yet?
Not yet, but we're at like, they just talked about like the Ed Sullivan like phenomena and all that stuff and like all the talk shows, because it talked about how like he met, so the whole like how Frank Oz, cause then Frank Oz came in straight out of high school.
Huh.
Like, cause he would go to the puppeteer convention and he met Frank, cause Frank Oz's parents were like well respected puppeteers.
Okay.
And so they really liked Jim Henson, and then like he saw a lot of potential in Frank. Even though Frank had no interest in being a puppet because that's what his parents did.
Right.
But basically Jim Henson's like, I want you to move to New York and work for me. So as soon as he graduated high school, that's what he did.
Huh.
And he like moved to New York as an 18-year-old. So right now like Sesame Street, they talk about that and like about how he was super genius from the beginning and maintained ownership of everything. And like even like in his commercial contracts, like that's how he kept all the Muppets. Because he's like, I own all of this. And even with, like, Children's Television Workshop, like, that was what funded the Muppets, and anything wouldn't have happened. Because at a certain point, he stopped doing commercials because he was so busy with Sesame Street.
Right.
And because he also, because it was starting to blur the lines where some of those Muppets on Sesame Street, he didn't want to, like, these children's characters to like be seen as like corporate shills, so he really cut down on the commercials he was doing. But because of that, they lost most of their revenue stream for the studio because they weren't really making a profit making Sesame Street. But then their agent was like, "All right, I know you guys don't want to do this, but there is a way to do this right we're going to merchandise the heck out of this and everybody's going to get rich. And that's exactly what happened because him and Turner Television Workshop basically split all the profits from things that use the Muppets. And like, for instance, Monster at the end of this book,
yeah,
in its first year sold 2 million copies.
Well, I think I had like three.
Everybody had that book.
Yeah.
Like 2 million in its first year, and then like Rubber Ducky and like the records and like all the music CDs and all that stuff. Like they just, so like that funded everything that they did. That's where all, so without Sesame Street, like none of his other projects, we would have had no anything. Like, and, and then hearing about so far the two things that like didn't happen that almost, well, that kind of happened. Did you know that Jim Henson in the late 50s made a Wizard of Id pilot?
No, really?
And nobody wanted to do anything with it. Huh. So that's out there. That exists.
Okay.
A Jim Henson puppet Wizard of Id pilot. He also, the other thing that is not out there, well, it's got it out there, somebody has it.
Okay.
Maurice Sendak wrote two shorts for Sesame Street that Jim Henson animated.
Okay.
And the Children's Television Workshop censors were like, we can't air these.
What were they?
One of them was cut because it had wine in it, and one of them was cut because it had cannons. But that's basically, nobody knows.
No one knows what else there
what
is.
What else, yeah. Wow. But can you imagine Jim Henson and Maurice Sendak collaborating together?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I would love to see that, like Where the Wild Things Are with them making it.
Oh my gosh.
I like the one that we got, but
Could you even imagine?
No. Oh, that's beautiful.
But so at least knowing that at some point they did, that's like when you found out that like Dolly and Disney worked together.
Like those dream teams. And Roald Dahl
and Disney also worked together.
Yeah.
And so when you find out about stuff like that, that at least like the world is like that those creative minds did somehow gravitate to each other. It makes you feel better. But like just hearing Jim Henson's drive and everything, it's just very inspiring. And but also he had this definite like awareness of his own mortality because his brother, he had an older brother who died in he actually is really sad. It was I think the Korean War, but it wasn't even like he died and they were like on base and like he died in a car crash.
Oh man.
And like he was a pilot. And so like and it like kind of like his mom was never the same after that, and it wasn't that he like was a sad person after that, but he definitely had an awareness that like because his first short that he made was like about time and about, and then you think about some of his other work, and there was this theme in his work that like you know we have a limited amount of time, there's a you know, and like he had a very definite awareness of his own mortality, and it kind of gave him this drive for the rest of his life. It was like, you know, he always... Oh, and then they also talked about the history. Have you heard about this? Because I found out about it because actually Matt Cohen interviewed Bobby Moynihan for an episode of Bagged and Boarded.
Okay.
And Bobby Moynihan talked about this. There is... It's actually... I guess at the time it was Bobby Moynihan's office in SNL. But back this... there's a closet
with
the pipes.
Yeah.
And so they go into detail about the history.
Where have I seen it? Because I've seen
Well,
like,
I think
video,
it's been,
but...
there's video and pictures. It's very famous. But basically what happened was because that used to be where the Jack Parr show was taped and they switched. So, and Jim Henson and like, they would get the whole Muppet troupe, because they appeared on there quite a bit, would get there, and they ended up pushing back when they were going to tape. So they ended up being there for like 12 hours. So they're just all in this like dressing room, and they got so bored, and they had all their paints and all their gear, all their stuff, and they painted all these monsters and put like, there's like cloth. They turned these pipes into like Muppets.
Yeah.
And it's still there. Because Bobby Moynihan, like, he showed a picture. Like, it's like, yeah, that's in my office.
There's a... Somewhere I saw like an interview like where they go in that wasn't it on the James Franco thing?
Yeah.
Where he goes in there and they actually like check
the
it
Muppet
out.
The Muppet pipes.
Yeah. Super cool.
So it was cool hearing the origin of the Muppet pipes. Cause they basically were just stuck there for a whole day. Cause, and they
And they did their thing.
They did their thing just cause they were bored.
That's rad.
And but then by the time they even were finished, people were coming up. They wanted to see it. So, like, I guess even Jack Parr found out and brought the camera crew up there to show it on the show.
That's awesome.
So it became like this, like, so even they, like, even when they turned it into an office, when they threw all that, they preserved, because it was, like, basically, like, this, like, piece of art. It was like a Banksy or something.
Right,
like,
right.
So they managed to preserve it.
That's really cool.
Because, yeah, that was from 1960. Like, it was in the 60s.
Huh. It's still there.
Yeah, 66, I think. But, and also just hearing about the story, the, like, sounds like Frank Oz and Jim Henson, their relationship, kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Working relationship, creative relationship, and like, really, like, he took him under his wing, and then they, like, just worked together all the, for, like, 30, like, Bert and Ernie, that's them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's based on them, and it's very much them. And also just hearing Frank Oz is funny. He's like, and it, cause he was originally supposed to be with, originally there was gonna, he was gonna be Big Bird, but before he had, the, Jim had made him wear a full body costume once before, cause there was a, I don't know if you've ever seen there, I've actually found these on YouTube.
Okay.
You know, La Choy noodles, like La Choy?
Yeah.
Their mascot used to be like Jim Henson made it. It was like a walk around puppet dragon.
Huh.
And Frank Oz was in it, and he hated it so much. He's like, I'm never doing a walk around again ever. So that's how they ended up having to look outside of the Muppet, and that's how they found Carol Spinney.
Huh.
Was because Frank Oz was like, no.
I'm not doing it.
Not doing that.
Huh.
So, yeah, it was just hearing cool stories like that, and then hearing about, like, you know, like, just how, I don't know, Jim Henson is amazing. I really like, it's a really good biography.
Sounds good.
So if you're like Jim Henson and you haven't read this,
you should read it.
Definitely.
Speaking of reading things.
You did it!
I finished Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix finally.
Holy crap. Did that ending hit you like a ton of bricks?
Well, yeah. So, I was kind of trudging along. And once I got to the last, like, 200 pages or something, I went through it.
Our first big kill off, man.
Spoiler alert, people haven't read
people
it,
have
I guess.
Read it.
I don't know. On. I haven't up until this point.
That was, like, a long time ago.
But Sirius Black got killed off.
It's crazy.
Now, don't tell me if I'm right or wrong or anything, but I don't think he's dead permanently. He went in that thing. He could come back out.
Okay.
Don't tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
But they wouldn't, they killed him off screen, basically, which is like code in any storytelling for he can come back. But he could be gone for real. I don't know.
Okay.
That's my guess. That's my guess at this point. I think he might be coming back.
But it's crazy, right? Form.
But yeah, very, and that whole last bit, like, that scene in Dumbledore's office afterwards when he's like telling him all the stuff, like, it was very emotional. It was very, like, and seeing, like, Harry go through all that. And then, like, him finally, like, when he gets that glimpse back into Snape and his dad and, like, how his dad treated Snape. And I still am waiting for him to, like, go up and tell him, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry my dad treated you that way. And I don't know if that's coming ever, but I hope it does. Because I think he owes him that. Like, because he's always, like, hated him. And even though Snape has always hated him, too, he's always had his back.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So we'll see how that goes. I know you can't say anything. It's probably killing you right now.
I can't say anything.
So you can't say anything. But
you need to read the next one, like, immediately.
It's, it was the last, I would say the last, like, third of this book. Like, I just flew through it.
Well, this one really kind of puts in, we're now in motion for, like, it doesn't stop after this, basically.
Well, it's definitely, there's a corner has been turned.
Yes.
I love the whole, like, Umbridge. She was, like, very, like,
gosh,
horrible.
How nuts is that?
And then, like, when the Weasley brothers take off, that was pretty great.
Looking back, because I've always said that 3 was my favorite movie, but going back and watching it again, Order of the Phoenix is so good. And the way they somehow managed to cram the major beats into this movie, they did have to cut a bunch.
Well, it's a 900-page book again,
for the movie,
so, you know.
But the way they did get the major stuff and the end, like you said, that they captured how powerful that end and that confrontation.
Well, yeah, that big fight.
The big confrontation with Voldemort. Voldemort's really starting to, like, show his power and make some serious moves, and it gets really intense.
So I kind of knew someone was going to die. I mean, I know people are going to die at some point. I thought
she
it was going to be Neville
punches
at this point.
She doesn't pull any punches, though, man.
I thought it was going to be Neville.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. That was my guess, like, going in. Because the final scene, I'm like, someone's going to die here. There's no way that someone's not going to die in the scene. And that's who I thought it was, but...
Can't wait till after the next book, man. I cannot wait.
I know more people are going to die at this point, too.
I can't wait.
I'm not oblivious to the fact that people are going down. But, man, it's good. It's gotten really good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're getting to that point.
What's the next one now? Half-Blood Prince?
Half-Blood Prince.
And what's the last one?
That is the Deathly Hallows. Okay. Which, once you read that... There's tons of stuff in the new movie.
The new movie?
Fantastic Beasts Where to Find Him that ties directly into things.
Okay.
That
so
you
I have
learn.
To read it before I see that.
You definitely have to be done before you see that because it will spoil some big parts.
Okay. Well, you haven't seen it yet, but you just know.
Yeah. Yeah, I just know.
Okay.
The Deathly Hallows themselves are a part of this prequel.
Okay.
You don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what it means.
But you will! You freaking will, man!
Well, it's good. It's a good, good book.
Alright. What's going on with Blue Christmas?
Well...
You said you have an update.
I just didn't update that part from last time. I forgot. The update is it's still going to be awesome.
Okay.
December 3rd up in Big Bear. You can check out the event page if you look for
Blue
Christmas 19.
You didn't update this either.
Oh, yeah. I get the TV things, though.
Well, I saw Doctor Strange. We have new movies.
Yeah, new movies.
New movies.
But I didn't watch it yet, so you got to talk about it with no spoilers.
I will talk about it in broad strokes.
There
you
go. Broad strokes I can handle.
It was visually amazing.
Yeah.
Cumberbatch was amazing. It was great. I loved it. I loved that, like, just like Guardians of the Galaxy, this opens up a whole new universe in the Marvel universe.
Stuff.
You have the whole spirit realm and multiple dimensions, and Doctor Strange is now in the MCU. And the biggest thing that I can't talk about it until you see it because I definitely don't want to spoil it.
All right. Don't spoil it, but it's good.
It's so good.
It did
the
quite
music,
well.
Giacchino score.
Yeah.
It's like I'm gonna agree with Derek. It's like the best Marvel score.
I've been hearing that. I've seen
and
several people.
Scott
write about
Derrickson,
it.
Props to Biola alum.
Yeah.
Scott Derrickson.
Yeah.
Making that Biola film.
I've actually met him.
Yeah.
Briefly, he came and spoke for our like film school because he
went
to our school.
He's definitely going to be the poster boy. If he wasn't already the poster boy for the Biola film program, well, now he really is.
Yeah. Because up until this point, he's had like various successes in relatively low-key films. But because this is done, I think it did bigger business than
the
like...
The worldwide is nuts.
Yeah. And
it's
then,
like over like... I think they probably already broke $100 million now.
And it's past like... Thor,
yeah.
And I think
it was like the biggest fall opening. Like,
yeah, and I think the only other one that's like a introduction of a single character that was bigger was the original Iron Man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's done very
and
well.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
I think everybody involved did a great job. And also, I'm still so happy we went to that Comic-Con panel because that thing at the beginning where Cumberbatch came out of the floor basically and all that like freaking
cool
laser things,
and stuff.
That really captured the feel of the movie. And I'm like, we're the only people that got to see that.
That was pretty
great.
Only,
and it is crazy that they still haven't shown the real Guardians of the Galaxy. They're still, like, even in front of this, they showed that teaser.
Right, right.
Which isn't even the full trailer that we saw, let alone the scene that we, like, we saw so much Guardian stuff that's not even close to being out there yet. And, like, people have no idea.
Plus
like,
Spider-Man stuff. When are they going to give us
I don't know.
They haven't even done, like, a teaser.
Because, again, we
that's
really,
going to be the best Spider-Man, watch, mark my words, it's going to be the best Spider-Man movie, possibly the best Marvel movie.
Well, this was great, and I'm just so excited about everything. It's great having the last two things I've seen are the two DC movies to, like,
and then this.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's so different.
Back
that
in the,
palate
like,
cleanser.
Yes. Because I'm like, oh, this story. I'm so invested in all of this.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just so night and day. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm actually sorry, not sorry. Like.
Well, I think we're going to go see it. I don't know.
I want to go see it in that Cine 1 theater.
I haven't seen it in 3D yet.
I haven't seen that in 3D
either.
Everyone's,
like, flipping out.
But I want to see it in Atmos, dude. I can't imagine what that's going to be like.
Man.
I just want to see it a bunch. I don't know. It was so awesome. But now I still have to finish. I still haven't finished Luke Cage, and now I want to get on board with that. And so let's move on to TV here. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., holy crap, man.
I'm like a two or three episodes.
Well, this week's episode went into, like, the origin story, man.
Oh, okay.
The ghostwriter of Robbie Reyes' ghostwriter.
Nice.
It's freaking nuts.
It's
this
been
whole
great
thing's been
so
nuts.
Far.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And I love the new director. I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's good. And I don't know. I really like, I'm just, again, they're firing on all cylinders, and Ghost Rider's awesome, and it's really cool, and I'm excited about everything, and it's,
Marvel can do no wrong.
Marvel's amazing, you guys. Wrestling. Keeping up with the wrestling. I haven't even watched the New Japan this week, but I'm still behind on New Japan by quite a bit. A
lot of wrestling.
It's too much, man. I don't know. It's now that there's two pay-per-views a month, it's really kind of ratcheted everything up. And also just been so busy these last couple, like this weekend. I mean, I got Friday off, but it's Derek's birthday
tomorrow. Go out there.
Well, his birthday is tomorrow, but I'm gonna go up there. I'm out there on Friday.
That's cool.
Take him to dinner, birthday dinner. So happy birthday, Derek, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
And tell everybody else. Say happy birthday to Derek Armijo, because he's awesome.
Are we allowed to say, like, how old he's turning?
He's turning the big 30.
He's 30, right?
Young Derek.
Young Derek-san.
Is now 30 years old.
30 years old.
Remember when you were just a young 20-something dude?
Man.
But, man, it's funny, because I had known Derek a little bit before Snodcastle, like just in passing. And I remember one time he came to our table at one of the first early times that we met was he came to our table at a Shrine show.
Yeah.
But then I remember the day that Matt and Kevin like got the keys for Snodcastle, Kevin was also doing a show at the House of Blues in Los Angeles. RIP. Can you believe that?
Yeah, nuts. What are they putting there?
LA and Anaheim are gone.
I mean, it's just that they're like done, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there like one left or something now?
Well, there's San Diego and some other places, Vegas.
Wait, like that's not much.
But like the ones here are gone, Hollywood and Anaheim. So we were Derek and I were kind of feeling each other out, and he gave me because we drove from Snodcastle and I had parked my car back there,
right.
And then we went to the show, and then we're going back to Snodcastle, and he was like, I'd come straight from work, so he's like, did you see the Super 8 teaser? And I was like, Super 8 teaser? And then he described it to me, and he's like, are you sure you want to know? I'm like, no, tell me everything, because I was so excited.
Right.
And then he's like, so then, a train crashes, and I'm like, what? And I'm like freaking out, and I think that's when he knew. He's like, I think we're gonna get along, because like, I was just freaking out so much about him describing a teaser. He's like, I think I can work with this. And then we were pretty much buds after that. Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Derek.
Happy birthday, Derek. And, well, one thing I forgot to put, SNL.
Yeah, I have that on mine.
Because it's been so good. We talked about, so there was Tom Hanks, and then we had Cumberbatch.
There was, like, for me, a far and away best sketch that I've watched, like, multiple times since it came out.
Which one?
Do you have one? Like, was there a standout for you?
I don't know. There was the opening, the cold open. Like, I got emotional.
There was good stuff all throughout the show. Don't get me wrong. And the commercial about the backwards toilet was like super hilarious.
That was really funny.
That was like one of the best commercials.
Well, it was also like a perfect parody of the old Macintosh.
Yeah.
Mac commercial.
But it also reminded me of like the Love Toilet from like Kevin Nealon days. But no, the one hands down for me was when he was the professor and Pete Davidson is like the skate dude that he's he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then at the very end, he's like, professor tried to kiss me.
Cool. Want to get the food? Okay. And because it was a perfect blend of Pete Davidson being like his doofus teenager character and then Cumberbatch just like this eloquent, like this emotional speech and he just never breaks and it's, it was beautiful. It was. Yeah. I watched that, and I made Janelle watch it, and it was super great. So that was my favorite. Loved it.
There was. Yeah, I thought the Beck Bennett one read like who's hot.
Yeah, why?
Like,
That was really goofy. There was a lot of funny stuff. That's not the only one.
But yeah.
That one though, for me.
Okay. And then having like Dana Carvey.
Yeah, church lady.
Like having Dana Carvey, Bill Murray. Like
I tuned out to that Bill Murray.
It's still Bill Murray.
Yeah,
they're singing.
Click past that part.
Oh man,
I saw him. Good for him. I'm glad he's happy.
And then just that opening thing with when
they ran out in the streets.
And they ran and it's just Alec, but like they're just.
I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
Really great. Last Man on Earth, man.
Yeah, spoilers if you haven't seen it.
That was crazy.
So it's this, like, self-sustaining building. We thought it was, like, people living there.
Yeah.
But
then, like, then you, like, there is some emotional stuff, yeah, but also Melissa, just some really like, funny. Totally like, Melissa has gone nuts.
And now she wants to have a baby, and she's crazy, and... Oh my gosh, Lewis is super funny. Like
Lewis
I love his character.
Is really funny. I just love the whole thing. Like when they found the frozen pizza, the frozen pizza song.
Yeah,
and like,
and then they're eating it. Like actually,
oh man.
Oh, and then there that dinner scene where they're like way at the end, like Batman style.
Yeah,
and he like drives the go kart down to her and stuff. Oh my gosh, it's great. It's super great.
Kristen Schaal is the best.
But everybody on that show is just, it's perfect.
I already talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Bob's Burgers.
I didn't watch the new one.
Oh, dude. It's called They Sell Horses, Don't They? And Ken Marino plays a meat salesman who ends up selling Bob horse meat.
Wasn't that like from the first episode? Oh, no. The first
that episode was human flesh.
That's right.
So this, the health inspectors get involved.
Oh, that's funny.
And Ken Marino is the voice of the guy. He's great.
That's awesome.
It's, I can't believe you didn't watch Bob's Burgers.
I'm telling you, it's the dang Hulu thing. Because I go on there and I forget what I need to like, what's up. So.
I just go through everything now.
But there's two, I have added hundreds of things to that queue.
Well, you need to.
So it's like broken.
You need to cut that down then.
It's ridiculous. So I go on and whatever I see is what I watch, but then I'll forget like, oh, yeah, this might be a new Bob's Burgers. Because it used to be I just have my list of TV shows, and then it shows.
Well,
dang you, Hulu.
Recommend fixing your watch, like cutting down your watch list then to just the essentials. Because otherwise you're never going to – well, you're never going to miss these shows.
I know.
South Park was really funny. The Member Berry stuff is just – oh, my gosh.
What are they going to do now?
Oh, dude, I don't –
it's going to be an interesting episode.
Dude, this week – you know, right? They're probably working on it right now as we speak.
It's going to be a lot of interesting TV this week, actually.
Like, Trey and Matt are probably, like, right now just, like, just they probably had one thing, and now they're probably just – they probably, right now as we speak, just trashed everything they had, and they're probably redoing it because they still have however – well, actually, for this week's, it's probably over.
Right.
But, like, next week's – because I don't know, when does South Park on? I think it's on tomorrow. Oh, it's probably, they probably did a couple last minute changes. You know they're scrambling.
Yeah.
They're running around. Because, and like, think about SNL. They thought this week was going to be a victory lap.
It's going to be an interesting
what
episode.
Is SNL going to be like this week?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Dave Chappelle of all things.
Oh yeah, that's right. Dave Chappelle is hosting SNL. That's going to be, I'm telling you. We need to watch it.
It's going
to be
one.
You're going to want to watch it live.
Because
something, you know, stuff's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If ever a show had potential to have something go down, this is going to be it.
Because also Tribe Called Quest is there. Like, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And this is probably going to be the last time that Tribe Called Quest ever play live, because one of the main guys died this year. This is like one of their last. They had one more album with him, and then they're kind of, this is it for them.
Huh.
And, yeah. Man. I don't know, man. Total Bellas, but if you want to hear talk about that, that's on MBWS. But Total Bellas is this week is the last episode, so it was a short run. Okay. And then we're getting Total Divas.
What was the other one called?
There's Total Bellas and Total Divas.
Wasn't Total Divas already on?
Well, the next season of Total Divas is starting.
I thought you were saying like there's a new show.
No.
Okay.
Total Divas starts up again.
Okay, okay.
And I'm very excited about that. But yeah, so that's what I watched.
Yeah? Did you watch any Goldbergs? Or maybe that's the one that was
the Stephen King one.
Oh, that's right. You'd already seen that one. Well, that was great.
So funny.
That was super funny.
It was like a perfect Misery parody, too. That was great. Like, down to, like, some of the exact shots.
Right.
And, like, with I know this picture frame, and, like, it's turned.
Yeah,
like,
the cube.
And then when he's like, please don't, I'm just like,
make a pumpkin pie.
But, like, just, like, she makes him rewrite the story, and, like, the smother, like.
Oh, my gosh. And I love the whole, like, storyline where, like, Barry is, like, now Barry's cool one.
And she's the Barry.
Like, the Barry. Whole relationship has been really, really funny to me.
So great.
And the fact that, because she's, like, a totally, like, cute girl, and the way they can make her, like, all, when she's feeling bad, they put, like, the braces on and pump her up.
The thing with the fake boyfriend was, almost painful to watch.
Oh, and then, like, when she brings her hot cousin over, and then he's like, oh, no. Plus all the Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, dude. Oh, the Little Shop of Horrors on this one was, I knew you were, like, die, because that was amazing.
And Audrey.
Yeah.
Audrey, too.
That was
fantastic.
Fantastic. And she was Audrey.
And he comes in and sings Suddenly Seymour with her.
I might have cried a little bit.
That was great.
I got emotional. But then Barry is Audrey too. It's like the funniest thing. Yeah,
dancing and stuff. Plus, that was one of like my favorite ever, like the end things, you know, where it shows this like real whole video of him like doing the Stephen King stuff.
But he kept messing it up. So goofy.
It was really, really funny. I just love that he really did do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he really is great. Oh, okay, and one other thing I want to bring up about the Goldbergs, which we haven't talked about, but they've been so funny about the Adam F. Goldberg, like, running gag about this. Yeah, because
you know that's a real thing, right?
Right.
And Adam Goldberg, because apparently Adam Goldberg is, like, really upset about it.
Right, and it's like, and so the jokes they have made have been, like, so
But knowing
funny.
Adam Goldberg, I also think it might be a thing that he's doing.
What do you mean?
Because he's a very, like, comedic guy. I think his... Because supposedly, like... Because you can go back. Like, they had this whole Twitter thing.
The comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very possible.
But it also... Another, but it does seem like he might... But there is a possibility that he might be really upset.
He might be. Or it's just
But every time
joke.
He's on, like... But he does a lot. Like, every time he's on... Because he's on Harmontown a lot. And I'm like, I think this is just who he is. And I think it's, like, a thing that he's doing... But
this one, his writing name, his pen name was
but
Adam
I love,
F. Goldberg.
I love how he's always like, because I have to be very specific, because there's an Adam E. Goldberg, and he is not happy.
Like, not happy about
and
this.
But it's funny that that's so an actual ongoing thing that's still going on with the other Adam Goldberg.
Very, very good. Very clever.
Well, because when I first heard about the Goldbergs, I thought this was Adam.
The same guy,
I thought it was him.
I mean, because it's a, you know, he was famous.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, Adam Goldberg doing a show. That's cool.
Adam F. Goldberg. This is great. Very good. Very good episode.
Netflix. I didn't watch anything on Netflix.
I didn't either. Although the kids started watching a show on Netflix.
I need to catch up on Luke Cage. I have not finished Black Mirror. I have not finished some other stuff.
The kids started watching the Skylander show.
Ooh.
Because they have like an original Skylander show. It's actually like... really well written. It's really funny.
Those Netflix shows are good.
That's
like,
the thing.
Have you watched Voltron yet?
I haven't watched
it's
Voltron
actually
yet.
Really good. You should watch Voltron with them.
I
think they would really like it.
I'm just saying, like, I did not expect a TV show based on, like, a video game that's based on, like, live-action toys would be a... It's like Norm McDonald is, like, one of the main henchmen. And then the guy that was Invader Zim, like, his voice.
Yeah.
Is, like, the two bad guys. and they're really funny, and it's really, like, clever.
That sounds great.
It's crazy that I'm even saying that, but it's kind of a fun show.
Skylanders
on Netflix. Who knew?
That's exciting.
I'm telling you, Netflix, batting 1,000. Plus, they have the toys, so they're all excited, you know?
Well, they have a lot of those
toys. Yes, they have them all. Maybe not all, but they got a lot.
Isn't there Nintendo characters in the new one?
Yeah.
Because they, like, finally they merged Amiibos. With Amiibos?
Well, so, like, there's a little dial at the bottom, and you click it one way to make it work on the Skylanders one. You click
that
it the other way.
That was a pretty genius move Nintendo's part.
Absolutely. Because they have versions on all the other ones, but that's the only one that has the Amiibos.
Yeah.
So, and the Nintendo characters.
Speaking of Amiibos, I need to get the Amiibo thing for the
Animal Crossing,
3DS.
Oh, dude, it's been great.
They did announce that the new 3DS, they have a limited edition one on Black Friday, but I have the regular size, it's too small for me. Like, cause I have big hands, and like Jordan Scott said the same thing, cause I'm like, oh, you got the XL. He's like, yeah, I had to. And the XL new 3DS, not cheap.
No. Now, I'm tempted.
But the new 3DS, because that 3D tracking.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's amazing. I can 100%. And having the extra nub, and also just the, I don't know, it's just, and the design on them is really cool.
Plus it's got the built-in Amiibo reader.
Yeah.
NFC thing. So it's tempting because, you know, I've had issues with mine, and if mine does kick the bucket, it would be nice to have one to fall back on, but.
It's only $100.
I just don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could
switch over. You'd lose all your stuff.
Well, because basically I could transfer all the software, but all the like.
Don't you lose your tags?
Tags.
Because wasn't that? I think that's the big reason I ended up not doing the new. Because I'm like, I don't want to lose my. That's years of work.
I know.
That's more work than any video game I've ever played.
Yeah, I mean, I can look back, and it goes all the way back to launch day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I could do that.
Man.
But then again, if it like goes, if it kicks the bucket entirely, I got nothing. So.
You got nothing. What would you do?
I don't know. I'm tempted.
And you got your phone.
But. Well, yeah, but that's going to keep me busy for, what, minutes?
You got Pokemon Shuffle on there.
I know, and that's great. And then I'm done. And then what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Josh definitely is back on the 3DS because they got his new P-Cross game.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all he's been doing from what it sounds like.
It's good. Glad to hear him back on the Nintendo.
Yeah.
You've been playing something on Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. I got Splatoon in my on Gamefly. The first copy they sent me didn't work.
Well, that's a bummer. Scratch?
So I got I think so. It was the first time it ever. It came up like a question mark.
Huh.
And it said unreadable. And I was like, dang. So I like tried all the tricks.
Nothing.
So then they sent me another one. And I'm level 4.
It's really fun, right?
It's really fun.
Have you played online at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, because
last time we talked, you were just doing, like, the one player.
Because I had to wait for the patches to download.
Oh, right.
And now it's all patched up, so I could actually do the online. And then it's a lot of fun. And I like that the maps change every day.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there's so much stuff to unlock. There's like an insane amount of stuff to unlock.
Yeah.
And I got the roller gun and I love that thing. And I got I got a gear to up my, so now I'm like super tank. I got like 3 shields and I'm like a roller. So I just like plow through people and I really like it. And I like that there's all different play styles. Like you can be a sniper.
Right.
You can be, there's charged guys.
You don't have to be good at like the first person. Yeah.
And
thing.
You can like just paint stuff and like get, and then, because a lot of people ignore that, and I'm like painting things, racking up points.
Right. That's there's so many different ways to play.
I've gotten number one quite a few times, and I haven't even like killed anybody.
Yeah, just by painting.
Yeah.
I love that game.
It's really fun.
We gotta play online.
Yeah, we gotta play.
How long do you have it for?
Well, I have it as long as I want, but I'm paying monthly for it.
Okay.
I definitely want to buy it. It's just, it's the one Nintendo Wii U games, because like you can get PS4 stuff, like most of, even like new stuff, like after you have it for a little bit, they'll offer, you can buy it from Gamefly,
right.
And they're like I got Doom for like $12.
Okay,
but the Wii U games, there's like even like used Splatoon's like $45 because they don't go down in price.
Right, they're first party ones unless they do the. The selects, which are only a certain number.
So I might be trying to get Splatoon on Black Friday.
Yeah.
Because I really want to buy it.
It's so fun.
Because if I don't buy it, I'm going to keep it checked out forever. And
then you're just going to pay like a lot for it, right? Because what is Gamefly every month?
It's like $15.
So yeah,
like, although I threatened to quit this month, so then they cut me a deal where it's half price. So this month it was $8.
Okay, still,
I might just keep threatening to quit until they stop giving me a discount.
Then it's $1 this month.
Yeah, I want to see how far I can get that going.
That's funny.
But then but then the more you extend, you stay on Gamefly, they keep giving you like gift certificates every month.
Uh-huh.
So you'll get like a $5 off, then you get a $10 off. And so, like, you can get game, because, like, again, like, I got Doom for, like, $12.
That's a good deal. It's a good way to do it.
And, like, Doom is awesome. They just added a whole new bunch of free, they added a whole new game mode. I mean, there's DLC, but they also keep adding, they added a whole new game mode for free.
That's cool.
And, like, Doom is awesome. Although I haven't had any, because I need to remind you, there's a new WWE game out.
Yeah, you got it. That I've been
trying, it's weird. I've been playing the career mode quite a bit, and I barely, like, it's really hard.
Huh.
Like, to do any, like, I'm not advancing. I keep going on cold streaks and losing popularity, and I'm still at the bottom of the rankings, and I don't know. It's weird. And they've already had to do some major patches, but that's pretty normal for WWE games. But I just, being able to, the actual recreate, like, the feel of the matches, it's the best it's ever been.
Okay.
Like, the pacing and the controls and the moves and stuff, the look of it, like, it's really great. But I still, if there's parts of it that I'm like, it's frustrating. There's also no story mode like this year.
Huh. That's surprising.
Yeah. But they were trying to focus on the other stuff, like the career and the universe mode. But there's no just, like, story. And a lot of the things that people are complaining about is back in the day, like in the early 2000s, they would have these season modes where it would be a totally unique story that they made just for the game. Like, all these crazy branching stories.
Right.
And, like, they haven't done that in quite some time.
Huh.
And I would like to see another one of those. Like, the best ones that have the craziest stories are the two GameCube games, which I still, they're really expensive, otherwise I would have had them already.
Uh-huh.
I never got to play them, but just reading the story, they wrote, like, WWE writer wrote a totally new, that would have been too crazy for them to do on TV, but they did it in this game, and it just sounds nuts. So, like, I kind of want to get those GameCube games, but they're not cheap. They're one of the more expensive GameCube games.
You can play it on your Wii, though.
Day of Reckoning. Well, I could also play it on my GameCube.
Oh, that's true. That's
I don't have a Wii anymore.
Oh, man.
I have a GameCube. I sold my Wii. Because I had a GameCube, and I knew that the Wii games I could play on the Wii U.
That's true, I suppose.
So
we've been playing a cool game on our Wii U. It's called The Rivers of Alice.
I saw you've been playing that.
It's super cool. How did you see that?
Because it popped up.
Oh,
I was on the Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to see, what's he doing?
What are we playing? Yeah, it's super cool. I believe it's probably on Steam or other things like that.
See, here's the problem about Wii U's online. Unlike I hope they fix this with the Switch.
Okay.
There really isn't an easy way to, like, say, hey, I'm playing this game, play with me. Whereas on PS4, I can, like, invite you to a party and we can just start playing games. Wii U doesn't really have that. They're online.
Well, you can search for friends.
Yeah, but there isn't a way where if we're both online and you're not playing, so, like, let's say you're, like, playing that or watching a thing, I can't be, hey, Phil, within the game, I can't, whereas with PS4 and Xbox, if I see Josh is online, maybe he's watching Netflix and I'm like, I want to play something with Josh, I can be like, Josh, join my party. Now we're going to play. That doesn't exist. And that's what needs to happen for Nintendo's online to really be a true fun.
Maybe it will. We'll see.
I really hope it is.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I really want that because then that would be awesome. Like, again, like, if I see, Phil's on there and we can both, I'm like, and then I can just pop up thing, hey, Phil, let's play this. And you're like, okay. And then we can play.
I'm gonna do it.
Instead of, like, now I have to call you, hey, dude.
It's a minor inconvenience,
That's a big feature of online.
All right. Well, anyway, Rivers of Alice, super cool.
Is it what kind of game?
It's like a point-and-click adventure type thing.
Cool.
Janelle called it, what did she say? She said it was like an Etsy video game is what she said. Because it's all hand-drawn with, like, little, like, you know, acoustic-y, like, pretty music and stuff. It's really cool. And the kids and I have been playing that, so it's great. I want to say Steam or other things mm-hmm. like that, because the Wii U version is, like, the definitive edition or extended edition. So it's somewhere else that was on the, like, regular edition. So
gotcha.
I recommend it.
All right. Well, on that note, it's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's Marmaduke time.
All right. Let's see. Oh, yes. That's right. Last time. Okay.
So last week was really, like, yeah, Marmaduke got carried down the stairs by a bunch of dogs.
By the back of the dogs. Yeah. Real weird. Okay. Let's see what we got this week. What's going on in Marmaduke? So Dot is sitting here on the chair, and she's reading a newspaper. It looks like a cookbook. She says, this looks like a good cookie recipe. Marmaduke's very interested, looking over her shoulder here. Now it shows her in the kitchen. She's mixing up some cookies, and Marmaduke's in there, but he swings his head around because he hears a ding, and then dong. He woof. He's barking at it, and she looks up from the mixing bowl. Somebody's at the door, obviously. So she yells out, "I'm coming!" Meanwhile, off-screen, Marmaduke is yelling, "Woof, woof, woof!" So he's at the door, very excited for whoever's there. Now, the next panel, the door is open. Marmaduke's halfway outside, barking, "Woof, woof, 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 woof!" And Dot says, "Marmaduke, from now on, I'll answer the door." And then the last panel, it shows a dead lady laying on the front porch.
Yeah, that lady's dead.
Like, sprawled out. With her, I mean,
and
like,
Dot says, "Understand." Dot says, and she's "Understand." Pointing, she's jabbing her finger at him.
Like, how could you have killed this lady?
Marmaduke killed a woman.
I mean, that looks like a dead person, right?
Yeah, she's definitely on the ground.
She's sprawled out,
eyes like, closed, arms, her hands are in the air, she's splayed,
like, askew.
So Marmaduke murdered somebody, and Dot's like, "Bad Marmaduke.
Next time I'll answer the door."
Now we have to get rid of this body.
What are we going to do? Bury it in the backyard.
We'll bury it with your bones.
Go bury it.
Maybe they make Marmaduke. Marmaduke's like their... Marmaduke's their murder...
He covers up their murders. He buries them.
Man. Maybe Dot intentionally let him open the door. Maybe that was somebody she needed to rub out.
Yeah, she knew. Also, I love... Okay, if you look at like the stream of consciousness here, that it starts out with her reading a recipe... Which has, what's the point? Like, the
so
joke,
weird.
If the joke is that...
This could have been anything, but right. He came up with this.
This needed to be three panels, because the joke is he runs to the door and the lady falls over, presumably
dead. This is
all
filler.
The rest of it is just, well, I gotta have six panels, so I guess she's gonna make cookies? Sure.
Making cookies, and I stretched it out. She stretched out the ding-dong of the doorbell across
two panels of ding
he
and then dong.
Stretched that into two panels. This doesn't need to be two panels.
This is three panels. This is a three-panel comic stretched out to six panels. Easy.
He's kinda smart.
Yeah. I mean, really, there's absolutely no need for the recipe stuff.
Also, this is not a joke.
No, next time.
It's just Marmaduke killed a lady and Dot's
I mean, even
like,
if you're assuming that she's just unconscious down there, it's still like, he ran to the door and scared
her. This panel somehow, he's like either.
What is he doing there?
Is he biting her? Is he somehow, she's on the ground.
Sucking her soul out?
Maybe that is what is happening.
Cause it's woof. Woof, woof.
Did he grow at all? A little bit. I mean, he is almost as tall as Dot here.
Well, but see, he shrunk from the first panel. Like,
here he's
huge.
Taller than Dot.
And then the next one, he's like still really big, but not quite as big.
But this one, he's back to big.
He's giant when he gets excited.
His head
again.
Is as big as Dot's like body.
But then when she talks down to him at the end, he's like shrunk down to the smallest yet.
Man.
So, I don't know. Also, he only has one leg in this panel, you'll notice.
Yeah.
There's no second leg.
Well, that's he's in kill mode.
So he, like, what, sucks? He loses a leg at
I
that
don't
point?
Know. It's hidden behind his other leg.
Exactly. There's no overlap whatsoever.
He has perfectly lined legs.
That's amazing. It's amazing how symmetrical he is. I just can't, I mean.
He definitely swallowed that woman's soul.
He murdered her in one way or another, that's for sure. At the very least, he scared her to death. And also, let's not forget this. He unlocked and opened the door.
That is true.
I mean,
I love that it's just casually. Yeah.
Yeah, the door was locked. The lady rang the doorbell and he went and unlocked the door and opened it. Because Dot's running to it and the door is already open and he's halfway out.
He did that.
The dog went and unlocked the door and opened it. So, I mean, Marmaduke's a person.
So whatever form Marmaduke is in here is his opening door form. Maybe that's what immediately scared her to death. Because once, as we've already established, human beings cannot see Marmaduke's true form.
Right.
So she did.
And that's why we're only seeing one leg here, is he's like mid-transformation.
She saw
whatever it really was.
Which, because we've already established, you can't.
Yeah. But Dot's not happy about it.
Well, we already know that Dot knows.
Right, so she's like, look, and now also, we gotta clean this up
again. Dot and Marmaduke have something going on.
Yeah, because... because
where's Phil?
What's going on here?
They're hanging out in the kitchen.
It's very odd.
She's making him cookies.
But they have, like, an understanding together. Like,
oh, yeah.
Whereas Phil's just straight up trying to murder him, Dot's like, okay, now you gotta
Dot knows what's going on.
Yeah. This is a deep one, man.
It's crazy.
I didn't expect, based on the, oh, let's cook these cookies, too. There's a dead lady here now. Because that's not, I mean, if she is just unconscious, she is fully sprawled out.
Well, he definitely, that's what I'm saying. At the very least, he sucked her soul from her body.
Yeah, like, that's...
And now she's just a husk.
Plus, if you look real closely, she's existing on two planes simultaneously. She's laying outside, but her fingers are inside the door here.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
So she's like, she does no longer exist on a two-dimensional plane.
She's in the
ghost
dimension.
Yeah, like she's coming through the door. You can see her fingers through the door. Either that or they're extending through it. Like she doesn't exist.
She's a ghost. She's in the ghost dimension.
That's crazy. Brad Anderson, you're a genius. Man. I can't wait till we get our brick. I want that sample brick, if nothing else. I want to hold it and see
it. And then I want Paul Anderson to be like, call us and be like, what's your guys' deal?
Yeah, what's this embrace?
And then we're like, Paul Anderson, we've been waiting for this call.
Thank you. We should have put a phone number on there. Like,
hey, well, he can go to our website. Yeah. We should just put it, Paul, please call, contact us.
Yeah.
Only Paul, though.
I should have put that in the notes. There's a spot for notes underneath. I should have put,
please,
hey, have Paul give us a call.
We have Paul Anderson call us.
We got to chat.
Have a lot of questions.
Yeah, so many questions. Marmaduke murdered people, right? I mean, that's...
he just did.
Pretty clear that's what happened. Man.
Well, there you go. And that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah.
On that note.
On Marmaduke's murder note.
Try to stay strong, everybody.
Yeah. Marmaduke's out there.
Marmaduke is out there, and he'll swallow your soul.
Be vigilant.
If you see any Great Danes wandering around,
steer clear, and don't accept their bones.
Definitely don't accept their bones.
No, never, never do that.
And definitely don't ring the doorbell of a house occupied by a soul-sucking dog, because he will suck your soul.
Yeah. And then force you to feed him and pretend that you're super happy about it.
Well, Phil... where can they find us?
RadioBrendo.com is
BenviewNetwork.com.
That's right.
We're at BrendoMan on Twitter and Instagram. And
find us on Facebook.
Facebook.
Join our Facebook
Tumblr,
group. All
Facebook
those things.
Group.
Stumble upon us.
Why do you keep pushing that?
I don't know. I
that's
feel like someone needs to do
paradise
that.
Paradise now.
But maybe there's someone out there that's like, still clinging on to that, and they haven't found us yet.
I think they've found us because they're listening to it.
But maybe a listener who is on Stumble Upon could share it with someone else who isn't into us yet.
Yeah. If for some reason you still have Stumble Upon toolbar, hit that thumbs up button.
Is that what it was? I don't even remember what the thing was.
You thumbed up the things that you liked and
okay.
Thumbs down, and you hit the Stumble button to go to a random new
That's
website
right.
Based on your taste, and it kind of learned what you liked, and I found so much crazy stuff because of that thing.
So if you just stumbled upon us, thanks for joining us
but
for the
nobody,
first time.
Now it's just all spam people and other spam people spamming other spammers.
But maybe somewhere amongst all the spam, a little gem will float to the top.
Maybe.
Amongst all the gelatin
and maybe
and
there is somebody
can.
With a real MySpace profile in 2016.
There could be.
That's out there just, why doesn't anybody post on my wall anymore? Hey.
Can you even do that anymore? I don't even know if you can post on someone's wall.
Hey, what happened?
Hey, guys.
Hey, where is everybody? Nobody's...
I had you in my top 10.
Yeah.
What happened?
What happened to top 10? What's all this stuff about liking?
Yeah.
Pokes.
Who needs the like?
Who needs that? Well, didn't they add likes to MySpace?
I think,
and that was kind of towards
the
end.
That
was the downfall.
You can like stuff here,
you can like stuff, guys.
It's cool. We like
remember
things.
The old, like, Facebook... what were, like... because there was, like... walls, but then there was like the shouts.
Yeah.
MySpace shouts.
Yeah, it was.
Because remember, you would just look through your shouts that people made? That was like the global message system. Man.
Things have changed.
Things have changed so much.
Remember pokes?
Pokes.
You used to poke.
Remember, like, all those. I found a picture that I took of all the notifications that I had from, like, 80 different things. Because I was like, this is out of control. And it was on Facebook because it was like, you have 8 requests from Mafia this. Oh, and you have 25 pokes. And you have this many requests from this and this. When they finally figured out how to separate all that.
Because
I'm just like, this has to stop. And it was like just this wall of like notifications from 8 million things. Because everybody was like, oh, there's a new Facebook app. I'm just going to go on this and then spam everybody. And then like that was...
That just was the worst.
All the crazy, you were pirate zombie pirate passion vampire game. Like all the different stupid Facebook games.
Still get invites from some people sometimes. Yeah. And I just want to go on record right now. I'm not going to play those games, so don't
I don't
bother.
Even think they know that they're doing it, though. That's the thing. Either. There's this one, like, some messenger service that somebody on my Facebook list uses that constantly sends requests, even when I tell the app not to send requests. So I don't know how they...
They're getting
and I'm just like...
Somehow.
And then I wanted to message this person, like, why are you even using this weird app? And I don't even think they know what they're doing.
Probably.
Because it's like, so-and-so has added you to their address book. And it does it, like, every day. And I'm like, what is this thing? And, like... And
Stop it.
I mean, maybe I could unfriend this person, but I don't want to do that.
Seems like a sad reason to do so. There's but plenty of other good reasons.
People have to have told her, like, hey.
Maybe. Maybe you need to be the one.
I don't want to be the
one. You got to break it.
There's a lot of other things I'm... Again, we're living in a new world.
Cats and dogs living together.
Mass hysteria. Well, that's going to do it this week for Radio Brendo Man. Why do I always do that's going to do it for Radio Brendo Man.
For Radio Brendo Man.
I need to go to bed. For Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
Go too soon if you just leave it. This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
Message from Ray Gun Readers.
Okay, try it now. Is it working now?
I think it's working.
Okay, move over.
People of Earth, I am Abysme.
And I'm Paprika.
We have crash-landed on a moon in your solar system.
You crashed us. I wasn't driving.
Shut up. I'm on the phone. And we'll maintain this frequency while repairs are made.
Which could take a while, so we decided to read some science fiction while we wait.
If you crave imaginative stories, intelligent discussion, and comedic banter, be sure to tune in each week.
Here on Benview or on YouTube at Raygun Readers.
Until we speak again, farewell and safe travels.
Why are you doing that stupid voice?
It's not stupid, you're stupid and insubordinate.
You don't outrank me.